This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it because we have a choice. Choice. We have a choice. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you got a choice. Make sure you choose right. Glory. God's presence. The presence of the Lord. You know what happens in His presence? We change. But there's a price to pay. Cooperation. See, it's you can't go to a candy machine and not put anything in it and try and pull the thing or push the button now and get nothing. You have to put something in it. It's called sow, then reap. Amen? If you don't sow, you don't reap. But if you don't sow to the Spirit, you reap flesh. And then you open the door to the enemy to deceive you, manipulate you. Amen? And cause more trouble. And it may not happen today, but it's coming. Hello? It comes. Nobody escapes it. Nobody escapes that law of sowing and reaping. Nobody. Every human being on this planet. It is a law created by God, and nobody escapes it. What you sow is what you reap. Bottom line. Amen? Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Glory, glory, glory. You know, we are, again, in the latter times, in such a season where we need to have discernment. We need to be able to see things through. We need to be able to discern the strategies of the enemy. We need to know things that are going to happen before they happen. In fact, we're supposed to, if you're in the Spirit. Amen? Psalm 49, verse 1, would you read it with me? What's it say? Praise the Lord. Hello. Okay, everybody can go home now. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a what? New song. And His praises in the assembly of the saints. Let true ministries rejoice in their maker. And let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them what? Praise Him with a what? With a dance. Snap to the religious ones. I ain't doing that. You need to shake that monkey off you, that's all. You dance until it flies. Let them praise His name with a dance, and let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble. You know, it takes humble. You got to be humble to praise God. Why? Because you got to deny yourself. For He takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in the glory realm. Why? Because you praise, you hit that realm. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Well, praise God, we're all together. Let the high praises of God be where? In their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. To what? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. In other words, demonic activity. You got to remember this is Old Covenant right here. So in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, they had to do everything by sword, attack, kill, destroy. Does everybody get it? It's different now, isn't it? So what you see here is actually now, he's saying, listen, now we're going from a physical fight to a spiritual fight. And if you're not in a battle, you become a what? Casualty. He said, okay, so we're to execute on the nations the punishments on the people and to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the what? Written judgment. This honor have all the saints. This is an honor to what? To kick butt on the enemy. It's an honor. It is a blessing. If you're not a fighter, then you're a wimp. Everybody get it? Because people that don't fight, you know what they do? They run. Every person that stops fighting ends up running. And they run right in the hands of the devil. And things get worse. He said something very powerful here. He said it was the sword, the praises, high praises of God in the mouth and the sword in the hand. Right? Well, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, it's the sword in the mouth now. Everybody got it? There's been an exchange from hand to mouth. That's where a believer receives and executes. The high praises brings the presence, the fire, and the glory of God. So we are in a time right now where it must be the fire and the sword. Everyone say fire and sword. Fire and sword. Because we are, remember, we are in the season right now. It is called the year of the sword. It's the year of the sword. That's why things are changing, because God is kicking people up off their seats. He's releasing the fire of God and causing them to battle in the spirit. There's a difference. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1 and verse 12. Read it with me. Revelation 1 verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in the right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a what? Sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and evermore." Amen. And I have the what? Keys of Hades and death. In other words, of hell and death. Again, here Jesus was expressed with what? The sword in his mouth. But he was known as a flame of fire. So the fire was in his eyes. We are in a season, again, this whole year is called the year of the sword. And we must get to that place where it is the fire and the sword in our life now. We must maintain that fire so that the sword can be maintained. See, without the fire, there is no sword. It must take the fire, maintain the sword. Because it is a time of war, a war like you've never had before. And it's gone from the physical to the spiritual. It is in the spirit. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. You know, discipleship, when the Lord said, go out and disciple, make disciples, it wasn't to bring people just to feed, clothe, and shelter. Those are works of the physical. But there's works of the spirit, where you fight and battle and destroy principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, where you call destructive fire down on satanic altars, sanctuaries, where you're causing the enemy to be confused in his own camp, where angels are being dispatched on what you're speaking because you are a warrior. In verse 11 in Hebrews 4, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, that lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So we see here that the sword of the spirit is actually the word of God being spoken. But the word of God is who? Jesus. Jesus. So there's power of the word of God, which comes from our mouth when it's backed by fire or backed by the anointing, backed by God's presence. Again, there's a difference. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, there's physical ministry and there's spiritual warfare. 1 Samuel chapter 10. You know, there's something I've always heard people say, well, if God has predestined you, then you don't need to do nothing. Dumb. It's plumb dumb. That's religious speaking. Deceptive spirits. In fact, when the Lord appeared to Israel and they're all around the mountain, everybody wanted to see God, and then when he showed up, they all ran. And they said, "Man, you speak to Moses, not us." And then the Lord said, "Look, I want to be your king." And they said, "No, we don't want you as king. We want a man to be as a king." See, so there is the will of man and there's the will of God, isn't there? And so the Lord said, "Okay, well, we'll get you a king." He found his dude named Saul. In verse 1, it says, "Then Samuel the prophet took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?" Who was his inheritance? Israel. And the Jewish people. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men of Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin Zelath, and they will say to you that the donkeys which you went to go look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine. To what? Make sacrifice. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After you have come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instrument, a tambourine and flute, and a harp before them, and they will be what? Prophesying. So the prophets were behind the instruments that were playing. Because, you know, when you clap and praise God, you're actually telling demons to shoo. 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 And they hate when you praise God. Especially clap your hands. It hurts them. You know, demons do have ears to hear. They have eyes. They are disembodied spirits that used to be human. Hello. So in this, they do have personality. They have a presence. They have a character, everything. So when you're praising and worshiping God and clapping, you're actually causing them to shoo. So they were doing spiritual warfare, weren't they, before the prophets? And while they were doing spiritual warfare, they were pushing back the presence of evil to bring in the presence of God. And when the presence of God came, they would begin to prophesy. They would speak in tongues. All kinds of things would happen. Hallelujah. And verse 6. And he said, this is what's going to happen. Then the Spirit of the Lord will what? Come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and what? Be turned into another man. See, God takes us from the world, touches us with his Spirit, turns us into a warrior. Not a runner and not a wimp. A warrior. But you must maintain that place where God has placed you. You must maintain position. Listen, it doesn't mean it's over with. Why? He gave you a sword to fight. For what? It's not to cut apples off of trees. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 7, and let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me in Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel the prophet that God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. He gave him a heart to serve. But after a period of time, something happened to Saul. He became prideful. In fact, one of the things that just cut him loose from being king, because king means warrior, he became rebellious. And Samuel said to him, look at rebellion as the same as witchcraft and stubbornness. It's idolatry. And he said something very powerful. He said, so the Lord's going to remove the kingdom from your hand. In other words, you no longer have dominion over my inheritance. Why? He grieved the Holy Spirit. He grieved the Father. Because he began to do things in his own accord. See, he was supposed to go out and kill everyone. He sent them out to the Amalek. And he was supposed to kill the women, children, cattle, everything, and the king. And he brought back all of this sheep and food and the king. And the Lord said, what are you doing? That's not what I told you to do. See, when we begin to take things in our own hand, we begin to grieve the Spirit. Amen? And then here's the powerful thing. You know what Saul said? He said, well, I'm sorry, I repent, but, well, it's too late now. You know, you can repent so many times, but finally God says that's enough. And so he took the kingdom away from him. And Saul said, well, wait a minute. My problem was I listened to the voice of the people instead of the voice of God. Oh, hallelujah. You want to grieve the Holy Spirit? Listen to the voice of your flesh, the voice of your soul, the voice of your feelings. And the voice of people, especially heathens, that know nothing. The wisdom of this world that knows nothing. All going to perish, isn't it? And it grieved the Holy Spirit. Saul lost it all. So here, in the beginning, Saul became a new man because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The anointing brings a new man. The power to choose correctly. It's the power to what? Choose correctly. Disobedience lifts the anointings. And we begin to choose incorrectly. You know, we begin to choose by elimination instead of correcting. So did you ever go to a mechanic that doesn't really know what he's doing? Man, I have. Yeah, it must be this. Buy that. Okay. Well, ain't that. All right, well, let's just replace this. And you keep going, or you could have bought a whole brand new car. That's called elimination. And sometimes people are doing the same choosing of the things of God. They're trying to do it by elimination or by common sense. Listen, common sense ain't going to work. 1 + 1 = 2 here, but in the spirit realm, it's different. Everybody okay? So this, the fire, the anointing, the fire of God. Amen? So Saul was backed by the anointing to take care of God's inheritance, but again, he blew it after a period of time. In Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. Everybody okay? I see some of you doing the Holy Ghost shuffle in your seats, so I'm doing the mashed potato. This is the first, okay. Mark it and don't forget it, okay? Yeah, give it a minute, all right? We'll see. Hebrews 1, verse 6. Let's speak it. But when he began, when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a what? Flame of fire. So are you supposed to be a minister? Yes, then you should be a flame of fire. Why? Because the sword is backed by the fire. You know, think about it. When the Lord threw everybody out of the pool in the garden, right? Why? Because they sinned. He said, okay, everybody out of the garden, right? What did he do to protect the garden? The tree of life. A flame of fire. A sword. A flame of fire. That same sword now that protect the tree is in me and you. That same sword, that fire comes out of the mouth of Jesus, is in me and you. See, but the enemy tries to tell you no. He tries to tell you nothing's happening. But see, in the unseen realm, it's happening. If you're filled with the Spirit and you're backed by the anointing, it is happening. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, no faith. You know, rely on what you see or what you feel or what the truth says. Amen? Then he says this. He says, But the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. You know what? We should be laughing all the time. We should be joyful all the time. That is the fruit. What is the fruit? What is the kingdom of God? It's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. That's the fruits of it. Why? Because you know what peace, joy, and righteousness is? Gathered together, it's called love. Love. Other than that, people only know love of the world, which is lust. And lust can't let go of us. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Remember, we're here to be trained. It's training for reigning. We are in a time where there's got to be more warriors. We got to fight, take back what was stolen. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, I think it is. Yeah. Well, now they're all up together in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. As a matter of fact, on the day of Pentecost, it was a feast of Pentecost. It's one of the seven feasts of the Lord. Amen? That was actually the fourth feast that was fulfilled. The next feast is called the Feast of Trumpets, which is me and you are going to be taken out of here if you're right with God, if you're in position. Or else you'll be left, and if you're left, please don't take the mark. Starve to death, let them behead you, but don't take the mark. Don't matter. Amen? So you know I told you. Praise God. So they're all in the upper room. They're sitting there. Why? Because you know what the Lord said? He said, I command you. I'm not asking you. I'm commanding you. I'm telling you I want you to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's coming 10 days from now. I'm leaving you today. Hello? Which was the 40th day. And he said, in 10 days from now, that I'm coming. I'm giving you my spirit. And I'll get in position. I'm going to meet you in the upper room. He told 500 of them this. 100 and how many came? 120. 380 started what? Denominations. That's where we got all this foolishness. In fact, I'm still trying to find the First Baptist Church. You know what I'm saying? I see them on every corner. Which one is the first one? Hallelujah. Anyways. In verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. As of what? Fire! And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. That's mean. Listen, this is so connecting. The fire and the sword is the fire of God in the tongue, which changes everything. Again, this is no longer work of the physical, it's work of the Spirit. And if you're not backed by the fire of God and taking the sword and taking your dominion, then you're only doing the works of the physical, not the Spirit. Everybody okay? That's what this is so powerful and symbolic. Oh, there's more. In Acts 10. Acts 10:44. Everybody there? Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Right out of the manual. From Emmanuel. Hey, I didn't have coffee today. Praise God. Sparing my wife. But I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah! Can I get a yeah out of that?
Yeah!
Snap. 44, let's speak it. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Hello, are you expecting? Amen. So you got to come with expecting. You don't come in and challenge what you got for me. All right, prove it. You come in expecting. Amen? And then in verse 44 and 45, it says, and all those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they all heard them speak with what? Tongues. And what were they doing? Magnifying God. So, you know, what happens is after we praise and worship, everybody prays in the Spirit. Why? We're magnifying God. So listen, people, oh, you need an interpreter to find out. Be quiet. Holy Spirit will bring an interpreter when it's time. Anybody can interpret the tongues. If the Holy Spirit, first of all, get your own interpretation. If there's a message for the church, how do you know that you're not hearing the interpretation right now? Hello? Believe me, I pray in the Spirit before I get a message. That means it's got to be interpreted. Does everybody understand that? See, God knows exactly what we need. And we don't need a bunch of religious garbage, people trying to compete with one another who's got the best gifts. We're all gifted. Amen. Amen? We're all gifted. God's given every one of them. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have every gift available to you. Words of knowledge, word of wisdom. Every gift is available to you. We don't have to show it off in the church. We need to do it out there. Hello? So when you go to work, wherever you go, you're around the corner waiting for a bus, get ready. Man, I walk out of my car, there's people standing there, whatever, okay. There's a guy come up and ask me for money. I'll get you money. I get money from heaven. I'm going to give you fresh manna. Hallelujah. Look at this, verse 40. So they were all speaking in tongues and magnifying God. And Peter said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You betcha. He said, man, we're going to bring more people. So they're all speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Acts 19. All glory. You know, I'm just waiting for some praise and worship and the glory of God to just slam everybody. You know what I'm saying? Everybody comes right into that presence. Whatever sickness, whatever it is, boom, gone, bye. That's what my desire is. You know, our responsibility is to bring people in God's presence. The rest is up to Him. So that's what we want to do. That's why when you bring someone to the Lord, do you want to introduce them to the presence of God, Holy Spirit? Then you get them plugged in where it's freedom. Everybody's free, right? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Freedom
to what? Dance. Yes. Freedom to have fun. Freedom. Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you got saved? And what did they say? We don't know, man. We didn't know. Listen, if you ask somebody, they got the Holy Spirit, and they say they don't know, they didn't. I don't know. You know, it's amazing to me. I run into so many people, and I'll say, okay, let's pray. And we start to pray or whatever. I say, well, let's pray in the Spirit. Well, I am. Our Father who art in heaven. That ain't praying in the Spirit, man. It's praying the Word of God. Praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues. That's praying in the Spirit. See, when we pray in another language, we pray with what's called our understanding. And there's nothing wrong. But, you know, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get a new language. That's one of the evidences. Why? Because you got fire now. And God is a consuming fire. He is fire. And we want fire to match with fire. Glory. Okay. So he saw some of the disciples. He said, hey, man, did you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? And he said, no. We've never even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. You know how many people still don't know about a Holy Spirit? You know how many places people go to and they tell them it's not for today, it was only for then? How disgusting. You know what they're doing? They're preventing people from getting the power of God. Why? Because it prevents them from doing the work in the Spirit and only doing the work in the physical. And there's a difference. And he said to them, then what were you baptized? And he said, in the John baptism. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of what? Repentance. Saying that the people, that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Then Paul laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. In other words, the gifts were manifested. So everybody got it? Praise God. So there is a place where you are. There's a difference between, no, don't get freaky on me, saved and born again. It's a position. It's a state of being, whether you're saved or where you're born again. Because when you are born again, it's only done by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, it's by the seed of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're saved. Then there's another level to enter. It's called born again experience. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is actually the second chamber of the tabernacle. Is everybody okay? So there's a difference between saved and born again. One is with fire, one is with water. It's actually by washing of the blood. When you repent for your sins, you're washed by the blood. They call it the water also. They do it symbolic, don't they? Again, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're baptized with fire, the anointing. You're no longer doing the works in the physical, you are doing the works in the Spirit. And that is the only way it can be done. Everybody okay? Isaiah 66. Oh, hallelujah. Fire in the sword. It's not fire in a hole, it's fire in the sword. Although when you show up, fire in a hole. Because you're dynamite. You're going to say, I'm armed. And I'm dangerous. Isaiah 66 and verse 15. Everybody there? Let's speak it. For behold, the Lord will come with what? Fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his word, which is fire and what? Sword. The Lord will judge all what? Flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be what? Many. Those who sacrifice themselves, or those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an altar, an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh that's called pig, and the abomination of the mouse. They were eating pig and mouse. They're going to be consumed together, says the Lord. So don't eat pig and mouse. Some of these hot dogs have a pig face and a mouse tail. You got to be careful. Joshua 11. Yes, dear. Joshua 11. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Come on, no. There it is. Joshua 11, verse 6. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid because of them. For tomorrow about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Meron, and they attacked them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to the greater Sidon, to the brook of Meresheph, whatever that is, and the valley of Mizpah, eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with the sword. For Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded him. Again, the Old Testament was associated with burning places and the sword. But again, the New Covenant, the New Testament, has not changed. It's just not in the physical. It's in the what? Spiritual. So it's still the fire and the sword. Does everybody get it? It's the what? The fire and the sword. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Glory. In verse 48. Now all of Israel was basically standing in shame. And the problem was is that Goliath, the Philistine, Nephilim Hebrew, heathen, genetics that was an offshoot of the interbreeding of angels and human, and he was one of them. Goliath was one of the giants, and he was challenging Israel. Nobody from Israel will come out in battle against him. Except here, here comes a little shepherd boy. There was something about this little shepherd boy. He was anointed. He was anointed with the fire of God. He had spunk. He didn't care. You know what? When you're on fire with God, and you're walking in the Spirit, you're not about man-pleasing at all. You're about God-pleasing. You're not looking for anything else but to please Him. That's the life that we live. That's why it's so important to maintain that. And in verse 48, and it says, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, because David was the only one going to challenge him, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Now, the stone was also a representation of not only being backed by the anointing, but the word of God. Why? Because when you're backed by the anointing, the word goes where? Bow! Right between the eyes. Everybody okay? Okay, let's go a little further. In verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Here's a transfer from stone to sword. Are you ready? Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. They what? They fled. So again, we got to a place here from stone to sword. It was prophetic because it was a foreseeing of what was going to come. No longer was we're going to throw stones or use a physical sword. We were going to go from the physical to what? The spiritual, where it's going to be the fire and the sword. And I'll watch this in chapter 21. Now, David did not take that sword. He just used it because he believed that it wasn't rightfully his. It had to be handed. It had to be authorized. Does everybody get it? It had to be authorized by priests. See, because before you can become a warrior, you must fulfill your priesthood. Amen? And a priest is someone that ministers to the Lord. Why? Because he's filled with the Spirit now. So he ministers to the Lord. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And he's fulfilling his priesthood. And I always call the priestly garments under armor, you know? Because when you put the armor on, you got to have something underneath it. In verse 8, is everybody there? And David said to Amalek, is there not here a hand of or a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. So the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, there is wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it. For there is no other except that one here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. There is none like the sword of the Spirit. So there was a prophetic transference. Does everybody see that? Praise God. Let's go to Psalm 18. And who was it handed to him by? A priest. Oh, glory. Everybody getting this? Fire and the sword? That's why it's so important to stay filled with the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important to stay on fire of God. Amen? Psalm 18 and verse 31. Speak it together. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with what? Strength. And makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high path, my high places. He teaches my hands to what? Make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path under me, so my feet do not slip. I have pursued, everyone say pursued, my enemies and what? Overtaken them. It's our responsibility to pursue and overtake them. What's hindering you? Get rid of it. Kill it. Don't manage it. Don't pet it. You and I are to hate evil, not compromise with it. We're to hate evil. We're to pursue it. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. And you have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who what? Hated me. Does everybody get this? Look at, let's go a little further. They cried out, but there was none to save them. Look at, no one can save a demon. Even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the what? In the streets. We are to pursue our enemy. Again, your trials and tribulations expose your enemies. Quit allowing your trials and tribulations to overtake you. Don't get caught up in your trial and tribulation. Step back and hold on a second. What's affecting me? What's attacking me? Well, you know what it is? Pursue it till it's gone. Does everybody get it? Pursue it till it's gone. You know, we have the penetrating prayer booklet. There are many prayers in there that help you pursue. Matthew chapter 10, I'm sorry. Fire and the sword. I believe God's getting us ready because there's a big fight going on right now. Look at what's going on in the government. I mean, there's a fight in there. There's a fight to put the right person in president. And again, there'll never be peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes, right? Matthew 10:32. Everybody there? Let's speak it together. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring what? Peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? But a what? A sword. Yeah. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. In Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 21. Remember, Jesus said, I am not come to bring you peace. Now you have peace within. Amen. But there will never be peace on this earth. That's why the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to stay baptized in the Holy Spirit and stay filled with the Spirit of God. I'm going to say that till I leave this place. There's too many people drift. They don't stay connected. And they wonder why things happen. Amen? Glory 18 or 21, what does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Hallelujah. Sword of the Spirit, sword of the Spirit, sword of the Spirit is the word of God being spoken back by the anointing. It's the fire and the sword now. This is not foolishness. Amen? It's not how many people you feed, how many people you clothe, or how many people you shelter. It's got nothing to do with it. That's the physical attributes. But the spiritual attributes is more important because what is influencing the people in the physical realm? The unseen enemy. Amen? It's what we call the invisible enemies. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So there's power in the tongue, isn't there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Fire and the sword. In verse 4, treat it together. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being sufficient from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And the word here means spirit or the presence of God, amen, by manifesting his presence in me and you with the fire, the glory, the presence, the power. When you speak the word, because spirit also means breath. So it is the breath of God that you and I are cooperating with. So everybody got it? It is the breath of God. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further here. Verse 7. Oh, no. Let's. For the letter kills and the spirit brings what? Gives life. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? More glorious. Remember, again, it's an area where God is brought, he is fulfilled from of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. And now he has poured out, he's been pouring out his Spirit, and he's saying, people, my children stay on fire. My children don't get lukewarm. My children. Why? Because without the fire, there is no sword. Amen? No fire, no sword. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1. Everybody there? Let's speak it. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. For many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness to re- to be reserved for judgment. How and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Moses, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are what? Presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring reviling accusation before them, before the Lord. Again, we are in such a time right now where the demonic activity has been so released and influencing. Listen, there is no respecter of person in the kingdom of Satan's kingdom. There's no respecter of person in the kingdom of God. Does everybody understand that? God loves everyone. Amen. But he doesn't show one more favor than the other. What favor is earned? It's trust. Does everybody get that? But in the kingdom of Satan, that's all he's trying to do is he don't care who you are. He don't care if you're spirit-filled, not spirit-filled. None of that matters. In fact, he's after you more if you're spirit-filled because you're more of danger to him and his kingdom than you are if you're not. He's trying to prevent everyone from getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and staying filled with the Spirit of God. He's trying to prevent everyone from being connected because the Spirit is what connects me and you to home. And he keeps us refreshed. That's why you have dreams and visions. That's why you're able to see things and hear things and know what's getting ready to happen. But you got to be filled with the Spirit and stay filled. This is why it's the year of the sword. Fire and the sword. So we got to stay on fire. Amen? Is everybody okay? So we see that there's going to be false prophets and teachers, aren't there? And they are. They're all over. All over. Listen, if you don't know the truth and you're preaching the wrong thing, that's a false teacher. Does everybody get it? Go to 2 Corinthians 11. I never knew anything about this stuff. I didn't know anything about power. I didn't know you could have a relationship with God. I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I heard about it. I used to do the in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, make that little. I can play dominoes better than you can. You know, the Latin language. But didn't know about the power. Man, he used to make me go to church every morning. I went out to eat hosts. I was an altar boy as a young kid. That's all I'm going to say. I was not a righteous altar boy, I'll tell you that. Probably because it was the wrong altar, you know. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 12. You know about false prophets and teachers? Hallelujah. Everybody there? But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. In other words, there are going to be many that are going to try to tell you. Amen? They're going to try to be like you. They're going to try to tell you you're not right. So, homie, what you want? Somebody open that door. What do you want, sister? Yeah. Well, come on in. Well, it's not locked. Hello. Come on in. Praise God. All right, praise God. You made it. Sit down over here, will you? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Verse 12 again. For what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. In other words, there's a lot of people trying to compare or to be or imitate the Holy Spirit. You know, they think they're spiritual. There's only one true spiritual, amen? That's the King of Glory. He said, for such as false apostles, this deceitful workers transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that are proclaiming to be ministers of righteousness, and they are sons of the devil. And I'm not afraid to mention a couple of their names. One of them is Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. There's two of them right there. Those are sons of the devil. You know what they promote? They promote disunity. They are hypocrites. They are, I'll tell you what blew me away. I was watching on the news the other day, and he come talking. And you know what he was doing? He said something, I couldn't believe it. He said, well, now we're going to, once we remove a black president, what's going to happen? What the heck has it got to do with color? What does it matter? I don't care if you have a Chinese president in office. We don't go by color. We go by fruit. And he's going, what are the people going to think? He was so concerned about removing a black president. What the heck's that got to do with anything? He is a hypocrite and prejudiced. And he shows up at every place to promote division. He's one that promotes that. Total bigot. Big bigot. Big bigot. These are sons of the devil. I am telling you, they are come out as a righteous minister, and they are not, and they're deceiving, and they're heading, bringing people into hell with them. That's why you and I got to have the fire and the sword. We can't take no more garbage. We got to fight. Amen? And there's many more. I can mention many names, but those were two that were good enough. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1, let's speak it together. You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach all others also. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a what? Soldier. Now, and also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? According to the rules. So listen, that sword is also to cut you loose from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Amen? We got to cut ourselves loose. That's why Jesus gave me and you the sword. That's why we have the fire and the sword. Why? We're backed by heaven. We're to do these things. Jesus turned the ministry over to me and you. We're to take it. We're to carry it. Amen? Cut loose from the entanglements of the carnal life and stay filled and ready. And I'm going to close at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Fire and the sword. Hallelujah. Hopefully many of these individuals will turn around and repent and get right with God. But there's many of them out there. Glory, glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 3, let's speak it together. Everybody there? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of among you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what? Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in what? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who do not obey God and on all those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how many people don't even read the Bible or know what the gospel is. There's a lot of people say, I'm saved, but I don't believe the Bible. Well, you're not saved then. Verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with what? Power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone say fire.
Fire.
And sword.
And sword.
Is for me.
Is for me.
In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.